Good evening, everyone. Thank you for attending tonight's meeting. This is the Alto Way Extension Project Initial Study Public Spoken Session. Just a little quick introduction. My name is Jason Wong, and I'm the project engineer reviewing this grading permit. We have here tonight with us Dan Sigler, who is our environmental consultant, who's working with us to prepare the environmental document. To his right is Curtis Havel. He is the principal planner with the planning division in our community development agency. Sitting in the front row is Tammy Taylor. She is also with the planning division, and she is an environmental planner. Sitting also in the front row is Berenice Davidson. She's the principal civil engineer with the land development division of the Department of Public Works, and she is my supervisor. And we also have Melody Mitchell sitting in the back, and she is helping us with any administrative stuff. So, a couple of brief points that I want to state. I just want to clarify one issue or one comment that I received in the email. So tonight is not a hearing, and I just want to make that clear. Tonight is not a hearing. There will be no decisions made tonight. The purpose of this meeting is to get input from the community to understand what your concerns are. So once again, tonight is not a hearing. No decisions will be made tonight. Another point to make is comments. If you do have any comments in writing, please provide those to me by next Thursday, October the 19th. So you can just email those comments to me, and that's the last day for if you want to submit any comments in writing. If you are planning on speaking tonight, if you can go ahead and fill out a speaker card, which is the green card on our front desk set up there. And we will be allowing 3 minutes for each speaker. So if you want to speak, please fill out one of the green speaker cards. So having said all of that, I'll just get started with the project overview.
Is it an agenda question, please?
Sure, go ahead.
It's on the agenda. Can I see clarification? First of all, on the other side here, the developers here,
the applicants? We do have an applicant here, I believe. Applicant representative here today, tonight.
Both, actually. So I have two contracts with the county, one to prepare this environmental document, the initial study for the Alto Way project, and I also have a contract with the county to fill in for Rachel while she's on maternity leave.
So how can you be independent?
I'm acting on behalf of and in the interest of the county, which is... I'm not making any determination.
Could I take over?
Yes.
So the purpose of this meeting is to hear your community's input on potential environmental compacts of this project. I would ask that if you have any questions that you leave it till the end of the section once all of the community member who wishes to speak had your chance to speak at the podium tonight. So once again, the purpose of the meeting is for us to understand your community's concerns. If we have time left over, we can discuss any questions that you guys have.
I disagree with you. That's a fundamental process question that needs to be clarified before we go on.
So to clarify your question, the county is neither for nor against this project. We are a regulatory agency. So when I go to work in the morning, I'm not being paid by the developer, and I'm not being paid by anybody else. I'm being paid by you, right, as a taxpayer. So as a regulatory agency, when I look at the project, again, I'm not biased one way or the other. So Mr. Sicular's role in this process, as a planner, if I'm processing an environmental review document or a permit, I'm looking at the data. The purpose of this meeting tonight is to gather data, and the data coming from you. So when y'all provide input tonight, we're not going to respond. We're not, you know, if you have questions, we're going to write it down, we're going to take it into consideration. That helps us prepare the environmental review document. That helps us stay objective. Something else that we do when we prepare the environmental review document, we're following CEQA. That's the California Environmental Quality Act. CEQA has pretty clear guidelines on how environmental review happens. So it's not up to Mr. Sicular whether or not this is approved or denied. He's not going to influence an opinion on the project one way or the other. His role is to take the data in, ask for clarification if necessary, have the project applicant prepare studies to clarify data if necessary. If the studies that we receive aren't as thorough as we'd like to see, or if there's still questions that are, you know, unresolved, then we, the county, have the option of requiring a peer review. So that would be somebody that is hired by the county to review that data. So anyways, in terms of process, this is part of the process. And as Jason said, it's not a public hearing. We're here to listen tonight. We're here to take in your questions, take in your comments, and I think that's really important to understand from the get-go.
Carlos, you've been terrific throughout this whole process. I have great respect for you. But this is Sicular. At the board meeting that I was there, it's going to get a check for up to $96,000 from Alta LLC, which is one of the developers. How can it possibly not be a conflict of interest?
The funding goes through the county.
I'm not saying it by you.
So the developer isn't going up to Mr. Sicular and handing him a briefcase full of money or a check. It's a payment that goes to the county, and then the county is farming that out. I guess part of the issue that I have here too is when I go to work in the morning, when I go to work with my colleagues, we're approaching these projects from an objective standpoint. We're not using our personal judgment to evaluate a project. I don't stop and say, oh, Joe Sixpack is the guy coming in and approving this or proposing this project, and I really like Joe, so I'm going to look at this project. It doesn't make any difference. What we try to do, and I think what we do very well, to some people's, depending upon which side of the fence you're standing, we use the process and we use all of the policies and procedures, and we rely on that, and that enables us to stay objective. So
go for it.
I can clarify some of it.
So my client, in my role as an independent CEQA consultant, my client is the county. So, yes, it is. My client is the county. I've been a CEQA consultant for 20+ years. I've never contracted directly with an applicant. I've always contracted with public agencies. My client is the County of Marin. And my role, my duty, my contract require me to prepare a CEQA document according to the CEQA guidelines and according to the Marin County Environmental Review Guidelines that is objective and that discloses all of the potential environmental impacts of the project according to those guidelines that the county decision makers can use in approving or disapproving the application. My role as the consulting environmental planner is to make sure that that document is produced according to the county's guidelines, moves through the county's progress toward completion for the same purpose of informing the county decision makers in approving or disapproving the project.
Can I just say something really quick? This is a scoping session, as we had said earlier. We haven't even gotten to the presentation yet. Here's the problem. We have this room until 8, and so we want to make sure we leave enough time for everyone to have a chance to speak. And so these questions right now are great. However, like I said, we're taking away time from the public comment. Just because if you look at the agenda, we're hoping to speak for no more than 15 minutes. So I'd like to ask, could you please hold your questions when you come up and speak? Like I said, if you want to ask your questions in the record, that'd be the best time to do it. If you want to meet with us afterwards, I think we can meet for like 5 minutes or so afterwards, but that's probably the only thing we can do tonight. And it would be the most, I think, effective so that we get everybody's input in like what we're hoping to do tonight. So I'm going to turn this back over to Jason, and I think we should get back to the presentation.
Thank you, Tammy. So moving forward, I'll just go quickly, a brief description of the project overview. So here you have the agenda. So the project overview. So what we're currently reviewing is a grading permit application. A grading permit application is required because they are proposing to develop a paper street. So they have submitted a grading permit application, and their proposal is to extend Alto Way an additional 512 feet, ending in a fire truck turnaround. Their proposed width of the roadway extension is 20 feet wide, paved with a 2-foot shoulder on one of the sides. In order for them to construct this roadway, retaining walls will be required, and the maximum height shown on the plans of those retaining walls is 6 feet. And also, as part of the project, they will be extending the utility mains all the way until the end of the 512 feet roadway extension. So here you can sort of see the site layout. On the board, the very north end is where Alto Way currently ends, and the roadway extension is all contained within the public road right-of-way. And you can see sort of at the south west end, that's where the fire truck turnaround is. So that's pretty much a brief summary of the project. Once again, this is a grading permit application for a development, for the extension of the roadway. With that said, I'll turn it over to Curtis now.
Good, excellent. So my role here tonight is really just to talk a little bit about the zoning for the property and how the lots were created. So the map that we have up here is the original 1990 map of Garden Valley Park. And that map was created these lots before the zoning district was laid down for this particular area. So the lots that are associated with this grading permit are lots 1 through 12 of block 1, 1 through 4 of block 2, and lots 29 through 36 of block 2. My next slide's a little bit bigger. Yeah, more of that. So the reason I wanted to start here is this was 1919. This preceded our zoning and building permit requirements. This preceded our subdivision map act requirements. In 1938, the R1 B1 zoning district was implemented for this particular area. And what the R1 B1 zoning district, in quick summary, is it's a single-family residential zoning district, and it prescribes development standards if you're proposing to develop a lot in that particular zoning district. So the zoning district's been around for a long time. It's nothing new. And it's actually one of the original zoning districts implemented by the County of Marin. Would you go to the next slide, please? Oh, of course. I'm sorry. So this next slide blows up that previous map that we were looking at. And the reason I wanted to show you this slide was, as I was rattling off the lot numbers there before, over the years, the county, so when the Subdivision Map Act was created, the California State Subdivision Map Act was created, part of what that body of law did was it created a process where you could merge lots together. And oftentimes, during the 1980s and 1990s, the county had a very active merger program where, depending upon the lot slope, depending upon lot stability, depending upon lot size, if a couple of lots were owned by the same person and they qualified for a merger, the county would go in and actually initiate a merger process. So the lots that I was talking about before, there were originally 24 lots that would have been affected by this paper street extension. Since the 1990s, there's been a variety of mergers, and it's actually reduced the total number of lots down to 10. And so that's 10 vacant lots are what are associated with this grading permit. And that's what you see colored in here. So that I think the
So you're only talking about the color.
Yes. Yeah.
What about the other ones? The other ones
are actually developed. The only lot that's not developed is along the top of Fairview Avenue. Lots 5 through 10 were recently merged into one lot. And then there's lots 11 through 19 are, there's a few mergers that have occurred there. But for the purposes of the environmental review document, the 10 lots that are colored are the ones that are being taken into consideration for that document. Then I can let Mr. Sicular or Jason Wong.
All the lots that are not colored, there's no dwelling on them.
There are homes on the lots that are, well, this map doesn't show it, but the lower portion of the map, homes are on those lots. Keep in mind, too, that this is the old historic subdivision map.
Is this what's called Mountain Gate?
No, ma'am. This is the Garden Valley Park subdivision map. The other thing I should mention about the zoning district is it's considered it's a conventional zoning district. So in unincorporated Marin County, we fundamentally have two different types of zoning districts. We have conventional zoning districts, which is this, R1, and we have planned zoning districts. Fundamentally, when you think about these two different zoning districts, a conventional zoning district means if you're a property owner, you have certain setback requirements for property lines, you have a certain height limit, certain floor area ratio, and if you comply with those standards, you come up to the county, get a building permit, and then you can go build out your addition or your house or whatever the case may be. The other kind of zoning district is a planned zoning district. This is not in a planned zoning district. But I want to just explain to you real quickly, a planned zoning district is a zoning district where there are no hard and fast rules on development standards. So you don't necessarily have setback requirements. You don't necessarily have floor area ratio standard. The trade-off is that you're going through some type of a discretionary entitlement process, whether it be a master plan or a designer review or a precise development plan. The reason I bring this up is I wanted to clarify that this is not a planned zoning district. It has never required a master plan for development of those lots. So I just want to provide that clarification.
Chris?
Yeah?
The lots that you said 5, 6, 7, all the way to 19.
Yes.
You said they're not part of this, so they're not part of whether or not there's an EIR. Is that what you said?
What I'm saying is that the extension of the Altaway roadway, the actual paved roadway, is taking into consideration these 10 lots. as they are foreseeably, they're going to be developed in the foreseeable future. The paved portion of the lot would serve these lots.
But not the ones above.
Correct. Correct.
Even though...
So I would ask, your question at this point becomes comments that we need to hear for us to take into consideration. So that's why we're here tonight. So you can ask questions like that, and we can take that into consideration. So I'm going to move along the agenda here just so we can get to the point where you all can ask your questions. Thanks.
Okay. You guys forgotten my name by now? Okay, I'm Tammy Taylor, environmental planner. So Rachel Reed was my supervisor. As you were saying, Dan Sicular is filling in for her. I'm also working on this document as well while Rachel is out. So I want to get to the meeting purpose tonight. It's been said a couple times, but I just really want to reiterate that tonight really is meant to be more of a public comment period. It's not a hearing, which means there is no decision maker here making a decision. We're really here just to listen to you, listen to your feedback as to what you think about environmental impacts could be from this project. So, let's talk about the goal of CEQA. This is why we're here. It's the Environmental Quality Act. CEQA actually does not require that we have a scoping session. We decided to do it in this instance because the project has already garnered a lot of comments. We know there's a lot of people who want to have their say in what is going on here. And so CEQA really is the only opportunity people have to comment about the environmental impacts and have that addressed in an environmental document. So in this case, it's an initial study that we're looking at preparing. The initial study would go in line with the CEQA goals, which are information, participation, mitigation, and accountability. So this is a document that decision makers would be looking at when they're considering whether or not to approve the merits of the project or if there's environmental consequences that could come from this project that require mitigation. So there's some information about what is an initial study. It's a factual study that, like I said, determines environmental impacts from a project. Public comment is an opportunity the public has to add their feedback as to what they think the environmental impacts could be. Initial study informs, like I said, the public, the community, agencies, decision makers, and it also is the scope of the initial study is the physical environmental impacts of a proposed project. So again, this is more about the environment. What could this project, have as far as implications on the environment? So as far as like the types of effects we're talking about, what we're hoping to really get from you guys is, this is a list of the topical areas that CEQA really considers. So, we can even leave this up if you wanted to have this just to refer back to it while you're speaking, but really these are the effects that we're looking at to document tonight. If you guys could bring that up, whatever is on the list, that's, like I said, the most important thing that we're looking for. We will be considering all of the comments. So the consultant will review all of the comments. It's not an independent decision as far as he's just going to come up with something and it's approved just like that. He will prepare an initial study. Like I said, that document is a public document. Hold your question. I'll answer, okay? So he'll prepare the document. And then what's going to happen is the agency now has this, like I said, information document. It is circulated for 30 days.
We're doing 45 or 30.
We're doing 30, okay. 30 days, it's circulated, and like I said, what that means is it's posted online, you can go ahead and read it, you can still submit comments also on that document, and then from there, like I said, the decision maker would have all of the information in the record in order to make a decision on the merits of the project. So that is, like I said, the purpose of CEQA. All of the impacts, have to be mitigated if it's a mitigated negative declaration. So we would explain what that is and what are mitigation monitoring programs that we're going to be adopting as part of that project. And if they cannot be mitigated, that's where it would end up as an EIR, which is an environmental impact report. And so that would be another step in the whole CEQA process, and you'd get a notice of preparation, which would be the starting point if we're starting off that process. So that's that in a nutshell. Did you have a question?
Yeah, just wanted to ask two questions. One, who is conducting the initial study?
Dan Sicular and his team. So yeah, he is actually conducting it with a team of experts. Who are looking at all of the topical areas.
The second question is, who is the decision maker that you mentioned that will review that independent study?
So it's the Department of Public Works.
Jason Smith. Is it, in essence, Rachel, your former boss?
No, Rachel. Well, Rachel would be basically handling just, you know, the contracts. I mean, basically, let me put it this way. I've written an initial study, okay, as an environmental planner for a project. I mean, so on behalf of the county, I've written it. If Dan Sicular is doing it on behalf of the county, he's basically doing the same thing. If he got kicked up to an EIR, again, it would be the same thing. He would have to then manage a team of experts to come up with all the technical studies that are required to inform the decision makers yet again. So you see what I mean? I mean, like, I know you're saying, oh, is there...
Who is the decision maker?
So given that this is a grading permit application, the department, the director of the department works will be the decision maker in terms of approving or denying this application. There is an appeal process. If a decision is issued, there is an appeal process to appeal to the Planning Commission. And I believe there's an additional appeal process to that to appeal to the Board of Supervisors.
I could address this through public comment, but my question is not just rhetorical, it's specific. How can Mr. Sicklor sit on one hand as the gentleman doing the independent study, and on the other hand, filling in as the acting environmental planning manager for the county? In other words, he's sitting in a position where he's responding to himself.
So like I said, As an environmental planner, let me step back a second. When I was writing that initial study, I wasn't going out as an expert and, you know, with a biologist saying, okay, I think it's this, I think it's that, because I'm not a biologist. A biologist prepared a study. I took the findings of that study to help inform me in writing the initial study. And that's basically what Dan is doing. He's relying on expert, you know, analysis based on studies they have done to inform him on the initial study and also on if there's any impacts.
Right, but he is making a recommendation according to his letter to the county about recommendations and determinations of the project. So how can someone being paid by the developer?
He's not paid by the developer, he's paid through us, like he said earlier.
Well, I'm trying to
get you real quick. I think there's
$29,000, but he's paid up to $97,000 by the developers.
Okay. No, I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding about what CEQA is. The California Environmental Quality Act.
It's a conflict of interest issue, not a CEQA issue.
Actually, it is a CEQA issue. You're making it a conflict of interest issue, and it is not.
So that,
yeah, the CEQA process, when a document is prepared, it's meant to be for decision makers to help keep them informed. Okay?
I understand that.
And that it's a disclosure process. It's not a decision process. So, your assumption, your fundamental assumption, what I'm hearing is that Mr. Sicular is somehow in the pocket of the developer. Mr. Sicular is not being paid by the...
I didn't say that for your words. Those are interesting words for you to use, but I didn't say that.
I said that's the implication. That seems to be the implication that you're making. You didn't use those words. That's correct. But Mr. Sicular is being paid by the county.
May I, please?
I have
all
records that show something different, but we can address that during the comment section.
I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'd like to give you a more comprehensive response, and I'd like to have the opportunity to discuss your questions with my executive team and the Board of Supervisors, and you've all signed in, and we can give you a response to these specific concerns that you have. What I ask is that you allow us to proceed with getting your comments, because whether or not Dan ends up proceeding with the process, whether it's them or somebody else, this information that we are seeking from you is going to be the same. So I ask you to please allow us to please gather your questions. That is what we need tonight. And we will comment later on whether or not Dan ends up doing the process, because
that's
we're hearing your
questions. This is not the second time this question. So
yes.
Ask the question earlier.
Okay. So I want to have...
It clearly looks like a conflict of interest that needs to be resolved.
And
And
up to these points, we didn't think about this issue. It's obviously an issue, and I'd like the opportunity to give you a comprehensive response after the proper. So we will continue with the comments. Thank you. Okay. So, did you fill up a comment card? Would you please? And we'll start with the public comment. There's green cards in the back, and we'll. So I'm going to give them an opportunity to present the CEQA process, and we'll, I'm sorry. So we'll move to the public comment now.
Yeah. just start calling out meetings.
So once again, if you wish to speak tonight, please go ahead and fill out a green speaker card and pass it to one of us up here. So we're to start off with Lee Buttigieg. So each speaker will have 3 minutes. Please come up to the microphone when your name is called.
Just FYI, the map you have, I pieced it together. You're also... Oh, the map that they have on the website... Oops, hello? The map that they show does not portray the full extent of the development, which reaches the end of Shoreline Highway. There are all those empty lots in red. So everybody, you can see me later about that. Okay. And I know I have 3 minutes, but two people volunteered their time, so I'm going to try to be as quick as possible because I don't want to be here anyway. So, how's this work? Hello? Can you hear me? Yesterday, the Friends of West Ham Valley emailed our public comments to you. I would like to give you a copy to be included in the public record. At the July public hearing regarding the county-initiated merger of lots on Alta Way, Marin County Planning Commissioner Margo Beal said she drove by the area. She said it happens not to be in a flat land in the middle of Novato. She told Mr. Havel and Mr. Chidarian that they are initiating the merger because this is a very constrained area where slope stability is in question. She called it a disaster zone, those are her words, and I wouldn't want to build there, and said that this is an area with significant environmental concern. She is correct. All of us who live here are extremely concerned about the environmental impact to the lives, homes, and the Tam Valley community if and when Alta Way is developed. There is great cause for concern since the site of the proposed large-scale development is on a ridge above a steep and unstable hillside that has a history of landslides. In the 1990s, Pacific Union also had significant concerns, and Marin County at that time had the foresight and believed it was imperative to safeguard the area's residents. They negotiated with Pacific Union to designate 3 lots on Upper Alta Way as open space easements. David Zaltzman, the county council, in a letter to the Board of Supervisors dated April 2003, said, "Assisting in keeping the parcels as some sort of private open space is clearly in the public interest, as the development in this area is overly dense based upon modern zoning standards for the area and the sites are physically constrained." Mr. Zaltzman, on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, way back in 2003, already acknowledged that the area was overly dense and the sites were physically constrained. TAM Design Review Board also voiced their concerns in a letter to Brian Crawford in April 2016. TAM Design Review Board is concerned that this design review request is a Trojan horse for future subdivision along the present paper streets. TAM Design Review Board recommended that county planning request a master subdivision plan with all the required planning requirements, EIR, stream ordinance, road size, grading impacts, fire hydrants, tree removal impacts, utility improvements, electricity, water, gas, storm, water, sewer, home site grading impacts, road plans showing the paper streets connecting to existing surrounding roads, and the traffic impact, etc. A piecemeal development approach will have cumulative impacts on streets bounded by this development, and the area will be impacted for years. TDRB questions if major development of this size is appropriate for the area. It is our understanding that Marin County is using an antiquated 1919 subdivision map for the basis of development without mandating that the developer provide a new map up to current subdivision regulatory standards. 100 years have gone by, and since this map was created, time and nature have altered the topography of the land. Climate change in the year 2017 is very real today. As I speak here in Northern California tonight, with its extreme weather patterns and precipitations, has invalidated the notion of a 100-year flood and has invalidated this 1919 map. Marin County recognizes the impact of sea level rise and currently has 2 main projects underway: a sea level rise assessment and the impact of climate change on the area on the tributaries of Coyote Creek must be done. After 100 years of development in the surrounding area, this area is permanently landlocked, and now emergency access is extremely limited. The 1919 map was created before current mapping tools existed. It was created when homes were little cottages, postage-sized parcels of 100 feet by 33, as Curtis showed on the map, were stamped on the map. The streets on the map were created when fire trucks were little pump trucks and people in Marin used horse and buggy. 100 years have passed. The area which was once open is now landlocked and has been impacted by climate change. It is not unreasonable for the county to mandate a 21st century map. It's just the right common sense thing to do. We believe the application for the Altaway Road extension is incomplete, and we ask the Board of Supervisors to remove it from their agenda at the March 2017 meeting. They did not. The original application was for a house and a road. Then it became a road without a house. And now it has morphed into an initial study with a minimum of 10 residential lots to be developed on Altaway and Fairview Avenue. And the map extends further for future foreseeable development. This avoids analysis of the developer's foreseeable intent to request an extension of Fairview Avenue all the way to Shoreline Highway and to service those additional vacant lots. A master plan detailing the size and seating of the homes, their design and heights, infrastructure, improvements, management of stormwater and runoff, and other such concerns must be provided by the developer in order for the county to conduct a reasonable and proper public scoping.
I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up. We have one more minute.
People are giving me their time.
I'd like to give my 3 minutes to Lee and my husband.
Thank you. I'm almost done. I'm shaking here because I'm thinking about them in Northern California, and this area is going to be landlocked. The developer, in order for the county to conduct a reasonable and proper public scoping session for an ERR, only then can the true magnitude of this development be addressed. We agree with the TAM Design Review Board that a master plan for a subdivision should be required to be submitted, as well as requiring a more comprehensive CEQA process. CEQA contemplates such scenarios and requires that EIRs be prepared for future related development is reasonably foreseeable, and this is one of those times. The initial study for the Altaway grading application is an attempt to circumvent and piecemeal the CEQA process and is therefore inappropriate for a large-scale development of this kind. Several of county staff have already acknowledged that there is foreseeable future development. Rachel Reed acknowledged the foreseeable development in her emails to community members this past March. Curtis and Jeremy also acknowledged foreseeable development at the Planning Commission merger hearing in July. Flooding, fire, danger, emergency evacuation in a wildland urban interface, recorded landslides. There have been so many in the small pocket of Tam Valley just two this past winter. Soil stability, drainage to homes, drainage to the creek and Coyote Creek watershed, failing infrastructure, the scary fact that the only way in and out will be via shoreline. How are we supposed to get out? Noise pollution, air quality, the impact on the open space easements that are supposed to be protected, the impact of wildlife, and the impact on all the residents and the residents of the surrounding roads all must be reviewed, analyzed, and reported on. Considering these long-standing concerns, which have been around because Pacific Union tried to develop and they didn't happen, does the Department of Public Works and the Community Development Agency have any recent studies or data that adequately assess the environmental and public safety impacts of building the proposed development? The mission statement of the Community Development Agency is to protect public health and safety, preserve environmental quality, and plan sustainable, diverse communities. That's on your website. To move forward on this proposed foreseeable large-scale development of Altaway without a comprehensive EIR and master plan of the 21st century is irresponsible and an abandonment of the county's duty to protect its residents and taxpayers. Thank you.
Well done. I'm Alan Jones. I'm chair of the TAM Design Review Board. I'm expressing views that are my own, not officially on behalf of the board. You have asked that comments be linked to the environment, limited to the environmental impact of the proposed extension of Altaway. As chair of the TAM Design Review Board, I'm familiar with several previous attempts by the developer to try to gain a foothold in what clearly is an effort to develop multiple lots on at least two paper streets in the vicinity. If you permit approval of the street extension without considering the broad impact of the entire development potential, it opens you up to betraying your broader obligations to the citizens of Marin County. I've submitted a copy of the Design Review Board minutes from our meeting of April 6th, together with a copy of the letter that we sent on April 21st, 2016. In short, we saw that application, which was considered the Brown Design Review, as being a Trojan horse for future development along the adjacent paper streets. And I see no reason to believe that the current application should not be similarly viewed. A full application for all development contemplated now or in the future should be submitted so that the true environmental impact may be assessed in a comprehensive way. At the time the Brown application, a 20-foot wide development of Alta Way was proposed. We considered that the extensive grading and retaining walls required by the slope would damage areas well beyond the right-of-way. In addition, a 20-foot wide street was deemed inadequate to serve all the lots on adjacent paper streets, which its development was likely to open up. The existing 20-foot wide extension of Alta Way was clearly envisioned to serve only a few houses at what was considered the end of the street. I would suggest that the current proposal should require, at the very least, a minor residential road 28 feet wide, as defined in Development Code 24.04.110, extending back to Blue Jay Way. If such should be required, then any assessment of the environmental impact of the current proposal would clearly be inadequate. Thanks.
Thank you. I think that a lot of my concerns have already been voiced, but I'd like to really reiterate that it is impossible to evaluate many of these environmental impacts, such as the aesthetics, the geology, the hydrology, when we're just considering the grading in the road. The full plan and the housing being developed should be considered as well as one complete piece, and it would be short-sighted to look at only these 10 lots and not consider the other undeveloped lots. The amount of time that this will be under development, the amount of noise pollution, the amount of runoff, the amount of traffic that will be caused by construction is going to be extended greatly when other houses are added and the road is extended, if that is to happen. And it'll be a much easier path once the road exists. I'm confident that you guys will do your job in evaluating this objectively, but I believe it's most important to consider this as a whole and not just the road that's being considered now.
And Vigris? Sorry about saying that wrong.
My name is Manon Bigra. we live at 549 Browning Street, so we own that property that would we have the easement, and the retaining wall would be there, and our lot is steep, and it's naked because I can't do anything about it. We can't do anything on it. And you should just come and see it, and you would know exactly what we're afraid of. If the drainage, our house has been dry for 16 years. So that those new, like, that just the street, I think, could change everything for us. And the mudslides and the instability, the soil, you know, has to be concerned to you too, because we had like so many mudslides, we're really concerned. Drainage, soil stability, fire. We have like, you know, we're in a place where like we can see what fire can do. So I think that cramming like people on top like that, not knowing how many, is kind of it's scary. It's really scary. Thank you.
Marilyn Silverman.
I'd like to say that I'm giving you a little history on drainage in that area. I'm sorry. I always thought I had a loud voice. But anyway, I wanted to talk briefly about some history of drainage in that area. We've had gone through extensive flooding. We've had bigger projects, but they're not full all the way through. So there's big issues of drainage coming down from Alta Way, coming down the creeks, coming down Browning Court, which is now getting more stuff from Chamberlain. It's very complicated, and there's an awful lot of water there, and it has to be reviewed. Secondly, I'd like to mention that I've been through this before. In the 1970s, when the Pacific Union put their project in, we went through all of these kinds of briefings. But it was really successful because we had an EIR, that all the issues were addressed, and it helped a great deal. So I think in this particular project, you have to do the same thing. You have to look at all the issues in the neighborhood. You have to understand the water. You have to understand the transportation issues. And that's the only way you're going to get a good development. And it is a development. I know it's starting out with one house, but it never stays with one house. And we have water in the front of us. We have water in the back of us. And I'm not quite sure where all of this stuff is going to come. Is it going to come down Brown Court? Where is it coming? And in the winter, we get streams on the west side of Browning Street about this wide and about this deep. Not minimal. So I'd like all of that to be considered in all of this. Thank you.
Ian Hopper. Alan Macy.
I've given my time to leave.
Thank you. Richard Haynes.
First, I want to say I agree with...
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
First, can you hear me? I agree with everything that was said previously. I'm going to read 5 bullet points from a letter that I sent to the county, Jason Matthews McCollum, D.C. 5 concerns. The destabilizing impact on the sheer strength and stability of surrounding soil if Alta Way were extended... Landslide mitigation was required due to soil stress caused by construction of 5 homes and a new roadway during 2002 to 2004 on nearby Blue Jay Way. Damage to lateral and downslope properties if the natural systems of surface and subsurface water drainage from upslope properties were altered. In 2010 to 2013, 4 property owners were involved in civil litigation regarding damage to downslope properties caused by surface and subsurface storm rain water runoff from the unimproved parcel number 049-04148. That's one of the lots identified for proposed development. Unfortunately, I was one of the 4 property owners. I was a defendant. But fortunately, the insurance company picked up our legal bills, which were about $150,000. And fortunately, I didn't own that lot. Degradation and safe egress, fire protection, and emergency personnel response times. A single route of exit would be used by 126 vehicles based on an estimated 2 vehicles per home for 35 existing homes, plus 10 new homes initially, plus 18 new homes potentially, if we consider the parcels that are not colored. Erosion of county-maintained and non-county-maintained roads during and after construction, an overwhelm of existing inadequate utility infrastructure for sewage and runoff drainage. In March of this year, raw sewage backed up, overflowed, and discharged onto Browning Street, as documented in the public record. The other thing that I want to mention is the map and the legality of the lots. The antiquated 1919 map that the county and developer are relying on doesn't comply with current Subdivision Map Act requirements. Counsel to the Friends of West Tam Valley, which I'm a co-chair of the executive committee, wrote a memo on this. There's judicial precedence that pre-1929 maps do not create legal lots. Read the cases of County of Sonoma versus Gardner, 2003, and the County of Sonoma versus Witt Home Ranch, 2008. The county itself acknowledged at the Planning Commission regulatory meeting on July 10th that they didn't think some of the lots are legal and that some of the maps are accurate.
All right, no.
Yeah, I'm a 42-year resident of Tam Valley, so I'm very familiar with the geology. I'm a retired architect. I've worked with a lot of geologists. My home itself has experienced tremendous slide movement. And I had addressed this about 20 years ago. I hired a very well-respected, highly regarded geologist, a Mr. Vincent Howes, which the county retained in some fashion, as I understand it, for a while. I hired also a civil engineer to implement the suggestions that Mr. Howes made. And at great expense, I did everything that Mr. Howes suggested. I can tell you that my house is still moving, okay? So I can also say that whatever engineer tells me that the geology in the region could be addressed, yeah, it could be addressed if you drive piles down 30 feet, perhaps, into bedrock. But I don't think the developer in this instance is going to go to that expense, okay? There is a road off Marin Drive as you go up the hill and to the left. A dear friend of mine lives on that road or that street. That street collapsed during last winter's rains. And although the road was repaired after some period of time, the hillside, which pushed right up to her house, prevents her from entering her house. And I'm thinking that you probably know the residents I'm talking about. To this day, many months after the landslide, this resident has to enter her house through the garage. So what I'm saying is that we've seen, or I have seen, what the county does. Yeah, you'll repair the road, but what about the landslide that's going to impact the homes downhill? They're going to be left to their own devices, okay? And you guys are going to be scot-free. This is how my friend feels, and I agree with her. Thank you. 1 minute. Okay, so I'm very aware of the geology. Besides my house, the home directly next to me had significant retaining wall in the back of her hill. So there's a lot of movement there that I'm not sure that you're giving due consideration to. I have two copies of a letter that I submitted to the county, and I want to bring them to you here and submit it for the records.
Christina Blair.
Uh, I would like to open by thanking Lee, my neighbor and friend, and many others here. I live on Browning Street, and it's directly downhill of one of the proposed sites on Alta. A couple years back, the fire turnaround on Alta crumbled. It washed away, and it slid down the hill. We neighbors begged the county for help, as surrounding properties suffered damage, and fire trucks couldn't reach us in case of disaster. The county wouldn't help. It's a private road, they said. It's a private matter. We neighbors are considering the tragic situation in our neighboring counties, and I think it's safe to say that public safety is not a private matter. Activity, illegal activity, is already occurring on these lots that you showed us in the slide. A traffic counter was placed there without proper permissions or permits. Trees have been removed. A road was graded illegally, and the county said nothing. We live in an area prone to mudslides. Grading will create a substantial risk of another landslide, and drainage is a real problem in our neighborhood. Alta Way has non-functioning drains positioned in a manner that do not capture the water. Removing trees on Alta Way and grading and allowing for impervious surfaces will only create more danger and risk. Landslides and mudslides are documented events in our neighborhood. The area above our home is steeply sloped and unstable. It should not be considered for this development. Our street is washing into the creek. The creek itself is experiencing significant erosion, exposing roots of massive eucalyptus trees, which will crush homes on either side. And this might sound alarmist, but it is happening now. I urge you to please consider a comprehensive environmental review and consider the safety of our neighborhood. Thank you.
Jeffrey Benedict.
I just wanted to say that in light of the excellent and well-considered comments that people have made so far, that I fully agree that a master plan and a full EIR is warranted for this development.
John Cole.
I don't have very much to say other than I agree with everything that was said before me. I think the incremental approval process, starting with this grading permit, is very disturbing because it won't take into consideration the overall impact. Excuse me. And I don't know if you guys have actually driven on Alta Way, but it's a very narrow street. 10 additional houses or even more houses will definitely impact traffic. Not only that, but there's impact on the turn off of Highway 1 into Alta Way as well. So that can't be fully addressed unless you address the whole project. And again, the incremental approval of a grading permit just seems like a compartmentalization of the risks really involved here. Thank you.
Roger Brown.
Hi. Me and my wife live at 556 Alta Way, which I believe is the closest, is 200 feet from the proposed road. I want to highlight two things. The first of all is the drainage coming off. You would not believe the river that comes down my street. There is no drainage at the top of Alta Way, so all the water coming off the hill either goes down towards Brown Street or comes down Alta Way, 450 feet to the nearest drain. Okay, that drain also takes water off of Highway 1 through a cauldron coming over and often overflows. I literally live downstream from where this road is going to be. So you need to address the drainage issues. The other issue that Alta Way, the upper Alta Way past the bridge, is not a county-maintained road. So I have concerns about the construction equipment and where is this construction crew is going to park during the construction of this road. Who's going to pay for the road? I think the county's going to tell me it's me. But when the heavy trucks do damage to this road or we can't park on our own street anymore, who are we going to call? Who's going to make sure that the construction crew does not park in the fire turnaround? Are you guys? No. Thank you.
Laura Charlton.
Hi, I want to thank everybody in the community for organizing this, and I really like being your neighbors. So thank you. I'm up on Panoramic Highway, and I want to pretty much agree with everything that's been said so far. I don't have much to add. I'm deeply concerned about the environmental review process, and I'm also concerned about the way the lots have been divided. They don't look like they're at all cohesive with the community, which is a problem in the general plan. And based on what's happened in Sonoma County and other counties, I think that it's really important that we have some expectation that the county cares about public safety. We up on Panoramic, should a fire come from the west, we'll probably have one option to get out of Dodge, and that's going to be through this community here. So allowing any further development, especially where there's huge constraints, is a really big problem for me, and it could be for a lot of people. So I hope you'll consider this full environmental review, and I'm actually really opposed to the project. I've seen the area, I've walked it, and I have a master's degree in riparian policy. Thank you.
Myle Burns.
Mike Burns?
Yeah,
Mike Burns.
I'm sorry, Mike Burns. That's
okay. To help you guys address that issue you didn't consider about conflict of interest, I would look at the June 5th, 2017 agreement between the county and Secular Environmental Consulting and his flattering letter to Ms. Reed about the three primary duties that he proposes to take. Which, again, I believe are inconsistent, irrespective of the statute, under any statute, for any public employee or consultant to engage in as a conflict of interest. The primary issue I want to talk about is traffic. I have two children, a dog, and a lot of the children in the neighborhood congregate near my house. We are always out there. I was the person, Jason, you spoke to me on several different occasions, that called about the traffic counter that was installed. I learned the hard way. That you cannot drill through the bed of a street and install things in the county. I installed a speed bump because I was concerned about traffic. The county came and took it out, and I had an academic discussion with them about why. I learned it was a county-maintained road, and I needed, for any type of encroachment, you needed a permit. The developers did not do that on two separate occasions, but for me calling, they would have gotten away with it. The first time they installed a traffic counter without any permit whatsoever. Multiple phone calls to the county, I was told that they were going to be fined. I've not been able to get any evidence that they were, but I figured we have their attention. They are going to adhere to the public process. They're going to deal with regulations. Unfortunately, they didn't. The second time they installed the traffic counter, I learned from the county that they did so without a permit. Dumbfounding to me. I also learned that, and I believe this has got to be against any county regulation, they came at 1:30 in the evening to take out the traffic counter. So not only did they stall something without a permit, but they came and took it away at a time when they could wake up neighbors in the neighborhood. What a great way to introduce yourself as a developer to the community. I'm going to submit to you, since you guys are all learned gentlemen of science, that the data that you obtained from these traffic studies were the empirical equivalent of garbage. They did it when everyone was on vacation. They did it during summer break. They did it during times which I will challenge were inaccurate based on their reports because I know what was there and when it was there. If this is how the developers are going to deal with small regulations, I submit to you, how are they going to deal with the large ones?
Elizabeth Simmons.
Thank you. Thank you. I heard that there was a preliminary report that has been prepared, yet I haven't seen that it's been available for the public. And if it hasn't been prepared, at least it should be prepared, and there should be a preliminary report that at least from the county's perspective addresses all of these environmental effects. I believe that the density of this project, and I realize that this is only a road project, a road scoping situation, but the density of this project, you know, and the lots that have been identified at this point is too dense for the area. Additionally, I have concerns that I think it's lot 28 or 29 that some protected California coastal redwoods have been cut down, and I understand that was without permit. So that is, you know, what is the second item there, which is agriculture and forestry. I would like to see what trees are going to be impacted by this road. Thank you.
Paris Morgan.
Hello. I'm new to the area. We've been here about a year and love it. And we live on Northern and Brookline and love the peace and quiet. Of course, this has been raucous and very illuminating. I've been very blithely unaware of most of this. And I come with a lot of trust. I trust and know that you will do a geotech report on this. I trust that EIR issues will be addressed, and that hopefully you will consider it, please, as a whole, because it does sound like it's going in sort of piecemeal. Sounds like that's allowed by law, but it seems that if you're going to take a long view of this, like a 20, 30-year view, which we took when we bought our house, you should consider it as a whole. So where we live downhill. My major concerns, I mean, you know, I'm not anti-development. I think you go through a process of tolerating noise and things like that. I'm pretty easygoing. But I am concerned mostly about the long-term hydrology and water quality. The sewage, especially after hearing a couple of these testimonies, and water pressure and making sure that there are enough resources. We did get a lot. You know, the other thing that I qualify here is, yes, there have been landslides everywhere, and I know it just wasn't a very common year. And we did get a lot of water, and I know it wasn't a typical year. But, you know, these years happen. They happen every once in a while. All right, then. My major concern is the impact of the turn and traffic. Shoreline is a highway. It is Highway 1. It is a two-lane highway. There's tourism going all kinds of places, and you can just never tell what you're going to encounter when you come to Northern in Shoreline. So I imagine more development means a lot more traffic. I can see that leading to accidents. They've been very good about getting some bike lanes at Tam Junction that connect to Miller now, and with a newly paved Miller, people are getting excited to take their kids to school via bicycling, and this is just going to make it quite a bear. So that's my major concern, and of course with fire and getting out, and I don't want it to become another Loring, because it could connect with other areas like that. I think that's quite horrible. Thank you.
Steve Edgen?
I won't reiterate the excellent comments from my neighbors. I live at 541. I live at 541 Shasta Way. I've been involved in major commercial real estate development for more than 30 years. Dishonest developers get pieces of the project approved so that they can continue to deceive the authorities and the public about what they're doing. Honest developers look at the whole thing. We don't see that. This is a fundamentally dishonest process to approve the roadway without approving the use of the roadway. No one's going to build a roadway just for the roadway. They're not charging a toll. It's being built for a purpose. So the fundamental application is dishonest. Thank you.
Laura.
Thank you. Everybody's pretty much said what I needed to say, but I just wanted to go on record and say that maybe there are two things that are not affected on this list for our area. And also, in lieu of the subject that we have this 1919 map, I think that it warrants an EIR to adequately understand the area of question. That's all.
Heidi Egan Brewston.
Hi, the name is Heidi Engelbrechten, and I do want to say I agree with everything that's been said. I am still going to read what I wrote to you and then leave a copy with you. As a resident on Alto Way in Mill Valley and a member of the Friends of West Ham Valley, I would like to share my concerns. Our house sits at the entrance to Alto Way and Sunnybrook Streets off of Shoreline. Traffic is reasonable during the day, but due to several construction projects recently, the traffic flow has changed dramatically. Backups are occurring regularly, and there is more activity on Shoreline in terms of noise and general traffic as a result. During the summer and on the weekends, traffic increases dramatically, and we get the noise of many motorcycles rumbling. There are backups on Shoreline from all the folks going to Muir Beach, Muir Woods, Stinson, and other destinations. A comprehensive traffic study of the congested Tam Junction Shoreline Highway route to and from Golden Gate National Recreation must be part of the process in understanding the impact of the proposed Alto Way Extension project. It's also important to understand the impact of the long-range plan for development of Fairview Avenue for access to additional vacant resident lots. Please include a comprehensive traffic study in the process of understanding the impact of the Alto Way Extension project. We've been impacted by dust and noise from the construction project mentioned above. These took place on Shoreline, and some impact was felt from the projects currently underway on Loring as well. But the large-scale project proposed for Alto Way will have an even greater impact on us in terms of public safety, health, and potential hazards. What will the grading, tamping, fill, and construction of a 512-foot road extension, unknown final numbers of houses, and the length of a 6-foot-high retaining wall do to our environment regarding health? There will be fumes, dust, soot, and emissions, as well as potential hazards from products like cement laced with carcinogens. There will be runoff from these projects that easily could find its way into the land of nearby neighbors, affecting their gardens, pets, children, and anyone who may have compromised health. There will also be runoff that reaches Coyote Creek, damaging the watershed and the riparian vegetation. What about the impact of water quality? What assurances does our community have that the construction will maintain safe water for the current residents? A report should be provided by the Municipal Water District stating how safe water will be provided throughout the construction and once it is completed. Just this season, we also had a lot of rain. A resulting landslide near Eastwood Park closed a road for several weeks. Fortunately, the nearby houses were intact, and after the landslide, This project in Alta Way involves very steep grades. Landslides are a hazard that must be considered. How can the construction provide safe new homes and not jeopardize the surrounding homes? A study of the impact on soil stability must be included in this project for the safety of all the new homes as well as those below and near the proposed area of construction. I'm also concerned about the noise impact. The construction requires trucks and heavy equipment and increased traffic, which should also be addressed. Thank you.
Here's a copy.
And our last speaker for tonight is James Woodish.
Thank you. I echo everyone's remarks. Thank you. I will submit my letter for the public record as well when I'm done. There, I will submit my letter to the public record when I'm finished. There are many issues that people have already articulated which should require Marin County to mandate a comprehensive EIR. I wish to discuss just one: fire safety and evacuation. In light of the current firestorms raging through Northern California, it is imperative that the county carefully consider fire safety and emergency evacuation of the subject area and surrounding area. This area in particular, as well as Tam Valley and Mill Valley in general, could easily suffer the same consequences currently experienced by our friends, families, and neighbors in Napa, Sonoma, and other Northern California counties. At this time, more than 200,000 acres and several thousands of homes and buildings have been destroyed, not to mention a death toll that keeps rising. This could happen here. We've all seen the news reports, and we must appreciate that time is of the essence during a firestorm crisis. In some instances, homeowners had less than 7 minutes to evacuate before their homes erupted in flames. In the event of an emergency, how will residents evacuate the subject area? Merging onto an already congested and gridlocked shoreline highway will be the only way out. What will that look like? We could say if, but it would probably be more accurate to say when a fire breaks out. Evacuation will be extremely difficult due to the limited means of egress. The comprehensive Southern Marin Fire Department study must be required to determine the potential impact on emergency response time for emergency vehicles, to include an evacuation plan for all existing and proposed homes. I was going to continue, but I wanted to ask one question, and that this relates to the map that Curtis showed us with the homes, I'm sorry, with the sites that are not considered as part of this project. My question is this: do the owners of the current development, Alta Partners LLC or whatever they are, or any of their members of the LLC or any related entities of the LLC own any of those adjacent lots? If it's determined that there's ownership or related ownership of those lots, then I encourage you to consider all of those lots in your environmental review of this area and in the proposed project to extend Alta Way. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak tonight?
Yeah, I'd like to say.
Afterwards?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you. I'll fill it out.
My name is Bob Bone. My name is Bob Bowen. I'm on 519 Shasta Way, the road that comes off of Shoreline just prior to the next where Alta comes in. If I understand it correctly, and I'm talking about from a transportation and traffic standpoint, if I understand that the road is going to be connected, Alta Way theoretically going to be connected to West Fairview, you're going to create a nightmare scenario. Okay, because people will be making a left-hand turn at the intersection of West Fairview and Shasta, but it's not a county-maintained road. And if anybody was there during the rainy season from December until April, they know that 75 or 80 feet there turned into a bog. And if you're thinking about bringing construction equipment up in order to facilitate the construction of a highway connector there, okay, to West Fairview, to Shasta, you are talking about creating a nightmare scenario. That's all I have to say.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak tonight? Seeing none, this concludes our public spoken session.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey folks, before you all leave, I meant to say this before you all got out, my bad. If somebody has comments and you were sitting here in the audience and you thought, gosh, I really don't want to get up in front of speak in front of people, you can give us your comments in writing, you can email them to Jason, you can mail them to Jason, you can bring them up to the county and hand them to Jason. So I just want to let you know, we'll take comments that way as well, okay? Thanks.
What's the deadline on that?
Deadline is next Thursday. Right? Before next Thursday. Well.